Well, let's prepare our hearts and mind for receiving of communion tonight. It's always a highlight for me to share in this. I believe that it's a special time for a church to join together and partake of communion. Years ago, I listened to Larry Smith from over at God's Bible School, and he's talked quite extensively about communion. His term, the word that he used, I think most often, was the Eucharist. More high churchy than what we're probably familiar with or want to be attached to. It's a little high up. We'll probably just go ahead and take communion. But the Eucharist or communion stands it stands at the heart of Christian life as a chief means of grace. You've heard me talk about the means of grace, various means of grace, and this is one of those, perhaps as been said by different people, that it could be a chief means of grace. And I believe that it's something that I need to say again. I've said it before, let me say it again, that we do not come to this table because we are worthy. We come because God is gracious, because God invites us. We come to the table because He welcomes us. I think John Wesley even urged believers to receive the Lord's Supper often. Because here at the table, Christ meets with us. Christ meets with His people in a real and a transforming way. It's too often, I believe, that we look at the table as something to be hesitant about, and I believe that we need to be cautious. I believe that we need to be careful. I believe we need to be reverent. But there is something very real about Christ meeting with His people and transforming us through the receiving of communion. When we take of the bread, when we receive the broken bread, symbolizing the broken body of Christ, we remember that Christ's body was given for us. Given for us. Not only was His body given so that we would have forgiveness of sins or have our sins covered, but also His body was given so that we could have our brokenness healed. We find at the table His self-giving love confronts our pride. His self-giving love confronts our self-sufficiency. His self-giving love confronts our indifference. You see, it's at this table that we actually see the cost of grace. It's at this table that if we are thinking about it correctly, we see we are confronted with the wounded Savior. We see the suffering Savior. And in that, we see the Lamb of God. Abraham went to sacrifice on the mountain. His son was to be the sacrifice. Isaac said, "Dad, we have the wood, we have the fire, but where's the lamb? God Himself shall provide a lamb or a sacrifice." And then we come into the New Testament, and as I mentioned this morning, John the Baptist proclaims to anyone listening, the crowd that was gathered around, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And yet this same sacrifice also is made for us to be nourishment. That we feed on this. Spiritually, we feed on this, these sacraments. We feed on them. We feed upon Christ by faith. And in that feeding, our hearts are warmed. I hope that your heart is warmed tonight. I hope that there's a stirring within the heart tonight as you receive of the broken bread and the cup. We also, as we participate in this, as we feed spiritually upon Christ by faith, we find that our wills can be strengthened. Our wills need to be strengthened. Our wills should be surrendered, certainly, but our will also needs to be strengthened to follow, to humble ourselves. Our will needs to be strengthened to persevere and to pursue. Not only do we find that our hearts can be warmed and our wills strengthened, but I believe that also when we participate at the table, that our love will be renewed. I believe that that's the desire. That's what God wants. That's what Christ was inviting. There was an invitation to come to renew love. That's what Jesus talked about. That's what Jesus shared about. And he wants our love renewed. Not only do we find that in the breaking of the bread and the receiving of the bread, but also the cup. It speaks of covenant. The cup speaks about that covenant that God was making with mankind through the sacrifice of the Savior. I believe it was Wesley that often describes in his journal and in a sermon that was entitled The Duty of Constant Communion. He describes the Eucharist as a renewing of the covenant between God and his people. And so when we drink, when we participate, when we partake of that cup, we drink of that cup, we are reminded that God pledged himself to us. Now that pledge to us was a pledge in mercy. In mercy. We receive mercy way beyond what we could deserve. You know, somebody said that in heaven there's nothing fair because it's not fair that you and I go there. But in hell everything is fair because that's what we deserve. But it's his mercy. He renews, or he gives himself to us, a covenant of mercy to his people, pledging himself to us so that we, in turn, also offer ourselves back to him. So we find that these sacraments are a pledge as well as a promise. God says, I am your God. And we answer, we are your people. This holy exchange deepens our commitment to holiness of heart and holiness in life. Holiness of heart and holiness in life. We can't separate the two. The grace we receive is not passive. The grace we receive is actively shaping us into the likeness of Christ. It's active. When we participate in the Eucharist, when we receive communion, it is a communal act. It's something that we do together. We don't do it alone. Suppose that there's some people that are doing it in small, tremendously smaller numbers than here tonight. But normally when we talk about having communion, we do it communally. We do it together in a group, in a body. And if we look at the Wesleyan tradition of which we are a part, we will also find that this table, this receiving of these sacraments together tonight should bind us together. Not necessarily specifically binding us in all of our opinions and everything coming together as we participate, but it certainly binds us together in a love that is divine. God's love. As I sat at the table this afternoon and I broke that bread into pieces to be placed onto these plates. That brokenness of the bread . It's broken for all. The cup, as I filled the cups from that one container, it was divided into cups for all. The same bread, the same juice, the same of each one of them, broken and divided into separate units, would indicate to us that all of the distinctions of our lives are taken away. Rich, poor, it's non-existent at the table. Colors of humanity, they're not at the table. The strong and the weak, the confident or the hesitant. You see, in every area and facet of our lives, every person, every people, they all come together to the table, to kneel before the table, to receive of that broken body that is separated for each individual and the cup that is divided for each individual, each person. And so it's here, at this table, that we learn that holiness is not solitary. We are formed as a people. We are formed as a body. We are formed to fellowship, in fellowship with grace, or in the fellowship of grace. And if we receive Christ's mercy here, then this tells us to take and extend that mercy beyond the walls that encompass this church building, that bring us into this place. You see, the table sends us outward and beyond us to love as we have been loved. We also find another dimension to this table, and that is the dimension of expectation. This table, the Lord's Supper, is not only a remembrance of what Christ did and a present grace, but also an anticipation. Each time that we come, we look forward to the heavenly banquet, that we look forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Eucharist, the communion table, becomes a foretaste of the kingdom of God. In essence, you could say that as we participate and partake of the bread and the cup, that we are tasting a new hope. Or maybe you would say that you are tasting of hope, that anticipation of tomorrow. We receive assurance that the same Christ that meets us here today will welcome us into his presence. So we come hungry. No, we don't come with an appetite where we can sit down and eat an entire steak and a good serving of mashed potatoes. That's not the hunger that I'm talking about, but we come to the table hungry. Not only for forgiveness, but for transformation. We come to the table weak, trusting that Christ will strengthen us. We may come to the table divided, but praying that He will make us one. Any way that we come, we leave changed. This is a holy meal. Grace pardons, grace sanctifies, grace sends us. The communion table becomes the rhythm of Christian discipleship. We receive, we are renewed, and we are sent to live holy lives in the world. This is not merely, young people and children, I want you to hear me at this point. If you're participating and your parents are the ones to decide, this is not merely a memorial of something long past, nor is it just a bare symbol. It's not just something that we do. Casual heart. We don't do it with a giddy feeling or laughing. This is a living encounter in which the risen Christ is present by His Spirit, and He's offering Himself to us. New, fresh. So we come hungry for forgiveness, but also for transformation. We come weak, but we're trusting that Christ will strengthen us. We may come divided, but praying that He will make us one. We leave changed. So therefore, we come humbly. We come expectantly. For it's at this table that Christ gives Himself to us so that we can give ourselves to Him. And through us, His grace may reach the world. Through us, His grace may reach the world. Would you bow your head with me for prayer this evening? Search us, O God. Know our hearts. Try us and see if there be any wicked way in us. Draw us near to Your holy table. We don't trust in our own righteousness this evening, but we trust in Your abundant mercy. Would You reveal to us if there's sin hovering or hiding? Anything that might be in our lives that is not pleasing to You. Anything. Show us where it's possible that pride has hardened us, that perhaps our love has grown cold, or maybe forgiveness has been withheld. Maybe where our obedience has been delayed. Lord, if there's any bitterness in our heart, soften our hearts. If there's hidden sin, shine Your light upon it. If we have perhaps wounded another, give us grace to seek peace with that brother or sister. If we've resisted Your Spirit, grant us repentance. Lord, as we approach this table this evening, I pray that You would cleanse our thoughts, purify our desires, renew a right spirit within us. We would not come carelessly to this holy meal, but with reverence and humility and faith. We can also hear your invitation when you say, "Come unto me." And so we come. Not because we are worthy, but because you are gracious. Wash us in the blood of Christ's sacrifice. Quiet our fears and strengthen our faith and prepare us to receive what you freely give. As we take the bread and the cup this evening, may we truly receive Christ in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Make us one with you and one with each other. Let this Holy Communion deepen our love, strengthen our obedience, renew our covenant with you. Again, Lord, search us, cleanse us, fill us, that we may come to this table with repentant hearts and living faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.